As you know, Germany is kind of union country, biggest union and whatever. And we are now hit hard by strikes from train drivers. What does that tell us about automatic driven trains? Welcome back to another episode of The Personal Touch of the Beginner's Guide. Dietmar speaking here from Argo Berlin. Yeah, that's like last month we had a 6-day strike where nothing worked, like in Berlin and all over Germany. Trains didn't go. It was really catastrophe. Now we have another one coming up. What the people want is they want better conditions for train drivers. I get that. It's a hard job. It's you have thousands of people you watch for. You drive these big trains around and it's shift work. It's hard work. And there are two things that come to mind. The one thing is you don't get enough people to drive those trains because it's bad. It's not a nice job. It's a hard job, yeah, to be honest. So the first thing is you don't get enough people to drive the trains. What the unions want is they want to better the conditions so they get more people working for them. That's one thing. And the other thing is, as an employer, I think, okay, what can I do to cut out the middleman, I don't know, the train driver, and go for automatic trains. In cars, that's not so far. I mean, in San Francisco and other cities, those cars drive. I was today at the International Tourism Fair, and the guy told us that in 2026, you can buy your first private car. By the way, looking ahead, as I don't have a driver's license. But what does it mean? Trains go on rails. They're easily controllable, I think, compared to cars going in traffic. Meaning there's two things. A, you don't get enough people to do the job. B, the near future brings technology there. That I take as a view on things for be careful what you do. Your job is not as secure as you think, or the other way around. What is the perspective there? What can be important in your job? With train drivers, I don't think there's a future. It's for me, it's simple that in the latest 5 years, trains will go automatic. I know that for years and years they try those things. And the only thing is with subways in Berlin, they could go automatic, but people want to have a person sitting there. Things will change. People will accept there's nobody sitting and trains will still go. So be careful what you wish for. Better conditions for the train drivers means it costs more, and that has always been an incentive to invest in robots or automatization. So let's see how that works out for them. In general, that lets you reflect on your own job. What's the thing that you are able to do that a machine can't? Driving around the train is not a problem, but being personal in any sense, being able to do things that a machine can't do, figure out what's in your job, the thing that's most important. Empathy is one thing. The human touch. Robots can't do that. The second thing is initiative. If you go to ChatGPT nowadays and you ask things, and what you mostly get is great answers to the questions you ask. But if you don't ask the right questions, you don't get a good answer. There's no initiative in correcting you or pointing you at different ways. So it's basically a little, let's say path dependent. You ask a question, you get an answer that fits to your question, but it's not outside of the box. So thinking outside of the box would also be a thing machines would take some time to learn. And then there's all the things with lack of data. Machines need data to make decisions. If there's not enough data, they can't make good decisions. In marketing, I mean, we have a marketing agency that works with small clients, small, medium enterprises, and Google and co, they all want that you do those automated things with conversion measuring and whatever that might work for big clients. if you have a budget of $100,000 a month for Google Ads, perfectly fine. Google has enough data on you. But if you have 10,000 or 5,000 or even 1,000 dollars a month, there's not enough data. So a machine can't decide right. It makes mistakes, and big mistakes. It shows the ads for totally wrong intentions. And you as a human know that. The machine doesn't understand it. It even tries to manipulate you to use their results as the right ones, which they are clearly not. So if there's not enough data, or if the data is too scattered, if the data comes from different sources and can't be put in one bucket, that's where you as a human can make a difference. And basically thinking out of the box or doing the non-routine jobs, that's where we humans are still really good. So routine jobs, yes, it's good. The robots should take that over. It's boring. But the difference, the complicated cases, the human cases, that's where you can excel. Focus on those and then see that the values put into those cases. Because the routine cases, they don't generate real value if every bot can do that. And the last thought, I just heard the blink of Roger Bootle's The AI Economy. And there's an interesting thought. Should our children learn the typical IT, mathematics, natural science cases in school? Should they focus on those topics? This point is not everybody needs to understand or program a robot. What's more important, our children need to learn the things the robot can't do. And that is everything that's social. Interactions. How do people tick? How do I deal with people? What's the value in social interactions? As an economist, I tell you, if you trade something, there's two things. There's the economic factor, like changing money. And the other thing is the communication. So the children that grow up, they don't need to understand the robots. They need to focus on the things the robot can't do. And that's the human factor. So in one sentence, be human. That's what the robots can't do for a long time. And that's where our value as humans is. Yeah, thank you for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. The next episode will be one from Professor Jeffert again. Keep an open mind until the next episode of The Personal Touch.